coming to you live from the Business Radio X studio in Woodstock, Georgia. This is Fearless Formula with Sharon Klein. Welcome to Fearless Formula on Business Radio X, where we talk about the ups and downs of the business world and offer words of wisdom for business success. I'm your host, Sharon Klein. And today in the studio, we have the founder and CEO of The Little Sober Bar. It's a mobile bar that improves access to sober curiosity one moment at a time. I love it. Please welcome to the studio, Brittany Victoria.
Hi.
I'm so excited to talk to you. You've been on my mind all week, but part of it is because I saw an update about the fact that you are now associated with the Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce, which is very cool. Mm-hmm. How did that come about?
I've been wanting to get, you know, more ingrained in the county because I am very close knit with the Woodstock community, as you know.
Yes, I do.
Shout out to YPOW, of course.
I know, our networking meetings, it's so great.
Yeah, they're the best. But I wanted to take it a step further and really solidify ourselves in the county because we do go everywhere, really. We'll be in Canton this weekend, actually, so I wanted to make sure that everyone in the county knew who we were and that we had the support of the county and that we were supporting the county in return.
So it's like a relationship.
Yeah, exactly. Kind
of. That's awesome. It must feel even more legit in some way.
Yes.
Well, it's nice because I know that I see your, it's not really a pop-up, so to speak, but it's your mobile bar, basically. Mm-hmm. So I was looking on your website and it's a 65 Shasta compact. Tell me about this. This is so cool looking.
Yeah, it's our mobile bar and we turned it into a place where people can come and find sober curiosity. It started out as a friend had this camper and she was going to turn it into a business. Things changed for her. Things changed for me. And the universe aligned and we bought it. And then 2 weeks later, I lost my job.
Always happens that way.
It does, but it just kind of means that this was the right path. You know, things kind of align and make way and space for what's meant for you. So I took that as a sign to really go all in on the bar, and we built it out in 43 days. Wow. Because our first event was with the ROCC in Cherokee County, so we had to get it done.
Wow.
So we did. And I mean, it wasn't perfect that first event, but it was almost there. You know, we learned something new every single day, even 6 months now. We've been changing things. So
you've been in business 6 months officially.
Yeah. Approximately. Yeah. Maybe a little bit more.
What was the impetus for the Little Sober Bar?
Well, I started taking control of my mental health. First and foremost, that was something that I noticed was lacking in my life. And as I did that, I started drinking alcohol less. And with that came a whole slew of other things, like having social anxiety in social situations when I don't have a drink in my hand. Then also the side of, it's not fair. Like, I want a cute drink too.
So it's interesting to think that it was like you were observing yourself as you were changing and noticing things you wouldn't have if you hadn't made that decision. And I know that I have anxiety. It's just kind of like the background running program, at least right now. I'm working on it. But I do find that if I don't have something to do or something to fidget with, that I can't really relax as much as I want. It's like a fight. Mm-hmm. So that must be similar to what you're talking about.
Absolutely. I tend to scroll my phone a lot. That's my fidget. Even though I'm listening, I still am looking downwards. But that not having a drink in your hand in social situations when everyone else does, you definitely feel, you know, out of place or like you don't fit in. Everyone's watching you and all of those anxiety like words that are in the back of your head, they come to light because you can see it. You can see that you don't fit in. And it's not that you don't. It's really not even real. It's just all in your head, really. But
right. But if everyone has like this really cute cocktail or whatever, and you've just got your water, it almost feels like you stand out in some way, or you're making a statement and you're wondering if people are wondering what the statement is, even though you're not.
Exactly. And everyone has their own opinions as to what, why someone's not drinking or what their motivation must be, or how can you keep them safe in social? And it's not even that. Like, the biggest thing is you can just ask someone,
Imagine that.
Or provide another option, which is what, how the bar came about, was the fact that there wasn't as many. I mean, there are options out there, but they weren't easily accessed. I mean, they are more now, but it's still, there's so much good out there. And that's why we built the bar, because we wanted to bring that good to people.
It's so interesting too, to think about the fact that this is really because you wanted to kind of center yourself. You had, you mm-hmm. know, like, it happens to me too. Even last night I went to a birthday party and had one drink, but I can still feel it today. I don't drink very often. I can still feel it today. I have been sluggish all day. It's fine. I knew that most of the time. That's what happens to me. I accept this, mm-hmm. but I never love it and wonder why I know that I'm going to pay this price. Like, what's the benefit in the moment? Did I really need to do it? So it's, if someone had presented me at that moment with some other options, I would have chosen, you know, a spritzer of some kind. But no, I was just like, the anxiety came mm-hmm. in and I just went ahead. And I don't judge anybody else who isn't drinking or drinking. But for myself, it's nice to think that there's a potential other option for fitting in, but not standing out in a way mm-hmm. where even someone will feel like I'm judging you because you are drinking when I'm not drinking. It's all of exactly. this in my mind, I imagine.
Yeah, I have a metaphor that I like to tell people. It's, we each have a window to the world, right? And so all we can control is what's on our side and not what is on anybody else's side. And we can also only control what goes in, and it also is filtered through that window. So like, there's so many factors as to why somebody's doing something or saying something, to where if we really just accept people as they are and are more honest, and that's a big part of my personal like mental health, spirituality journey that I'm on. But it's true though. Like, if we just accept people as they are and we're honest and open to each other, like the more acceptance and the more, you know, just options for love and all of that thing in those situations there are, because you could see somebody not drinking and be like, oh, okay.
Who cares, right? It's
yeah,
your truth, whatever that is.
Exactly. Here's another option. And then not even to mention the fact that there's adaptogen options out there and all sorts of other infusions in drinks that will give you the relaxation or like a buffer on the social anxiety without like paying the price tomorrow, you know?
You have, what's kind of cool about your mocktails, right, is that I was reading on your website that you say they have depth. It's not just a sugary beverage option. It has the feel of a cocktail, which is amazing. So can you tell me about some of the different mocktails that you have?
Absolutely. So we have on our trailer, we carry 30 plus canned options. It's a curated menu that I've tried lots and lots of drinks. I'm well hydrated these days. But we'd have stuff that is sober curious, which is our quote unquote top shelf. That's our adaptogen, you know, CBD and kava, anything that has like 0.5% or less ABV. That's like our sober curious line. And then we also have our strictly sober, which is zero proof cocktails. And then on the flip side, when we make handcrafted mocktails at parties, I tend to try to find alternative spirits that have either have infusions if it's a sober curious event, or have nothing, you know, zero proof. That way I can craft something that's a little bit different. I don't really have a menu list for people to choose from. I tend to see what the event is and craft the cocktail, zero proof cocktails, to sober curious cocktail for that event. So we had a wedding, our first big wedding, and I made, it's our most popular one. Everyone's all over it on Instagram. but it was the Happily Ever After. That's what I called it, because it's, you know, it's a wedding and that's what you want.
Sweet.
And, right? And it was a cranberry lime spritzer. So it had limeade. So you're thinking, okay, yeah, just like any other wedding, like lemonade, right? But no, it had limeade, and then we used one of our canned mocktails, but it's actually a dry soda. So it's a soda, but it's not as sweet as other sodas. So it's more of the flavors of cranberry and lime. And so we combined that with the limeade. I added glitter, of course.
Oh my gosh.
You have to have glitter.
That's so special.
And then a little bit of butterfly pea flower for like the color change and all that. And then I did a citrus smoke bubble on top.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding?
No. Nope.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I bet the presentation was just fabulous.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, that's what it, being sober or sober curious doesn't have to be boring. It can be fun. That's the whole point of like a cocktail, is for it to be beautiful and fun and feel like it's special.
What's cool, I think, about your Instagram is that you also have chronicled your build for the camper and making it, or it's not even really, is it a camper kind of? Or your bar, let's call it the bar.
The bar.
It's really nice because people can kind of see exactly how you did it. And if that's something that they're interested in, they can follow along with you on your journey as well as making new cocktails. I love that you're using social media that way, as well as Facebook, obviously. But what is it like to be out there in the community and be so public this way too? Because there's so much judgment around, I don't know, alcohol. There's a lot of alcohol around here in Woodstock in particular. It's fine. It's what it's supposed to be. But
yeah,
how has it been for you?
Okay. So being public is a lot. So when you're newly sober, they say, don't make any big changes in your life, right? And I decided to open a bar. So I'm about, I don't even know now. I know it was 14 months a little while ago. And
congratulations.
Like, thank you. Yeah. I like to say I'm sober curious because the pressure of staying sober is like, oh, I don't have a choice. But I, you know, I choose every day to make the choice. But anyways, so it's funny, the more I talk about the bar, the more people open up and say, hey, I've been sober for this many years, and that's so cool. And I was surprised. I was shocked, honestly.
When you opened that door for yourself, it brought in people. It made a safe space for them to tell their story.
Yeah.
Who would have thought, right?
Who would have thought, right? I just didn't think there was that many people in Woodstock or in this area that would be open to a sober bar. That's kind of, I had been talking about the bar for about a year before we really dove in. And I was honestly terrified.
Really?
Yes, because making the choice to not drink or be labeled as, quote unquote, the sober girl, because people think of me now as, you know, the girl in Woodstock has the sober bar. It's a lot of pressure and it's a big change and it's a lot.
Do you feel like you have to represent something?
I think part of me has that feeling, but a big part of me knows that who I am right now is exactly who I am. And I feel like so good about that lately that it's okay. If people see me as a sober girl, I'm like, yeah, totally. I'm the owner of the sober bar. Like, I'm very confident in the me that I'm growing into, because I believe you grow every single day. So yeah, it's been a lot, but it's also been really good at the same time.
What were you doing before this?
Before this, I was a bookkeeper, I guess technically an office manager at a manufacturing company.
Wow, right? Yeah.
So I've lived a lot of lives. I've always been an entrepreneur, about 10-ish years of on and off entrepreneurship. But yeah, I was doing photography and I was actually at Made Mercantile for a little bit with products. And so I've kind of gathered lots of information about different things.
Yeah, like, you know a little bit about business ownership then. Yes. So this was a natural transition then for you to have your own business that can travel. What's so cool about it is you can set up all these different events. I saw on your website you have a calendar where people can see where you're going to be. So what are some of the places that you've been to? Where are some of the places that you've been to?
We have been as far as Athens for events, and then as far, I guess, south, quote unquote, as Fayette County. And then all over Woodstock and Canton and Kennesaw. Yeah, all over Cherokee County, yeah.
Wow, it's so fun. Are you ever surprised at the reception that you're receiving when people aren't expecting you to show up?
Sometimes. My favorite thing that people do is when they walk up to the bar, they're like, I'm curious.
That's exactly what we want.
Exactly. Right. And that's our tagline, is stay curious, because we really believe that you should be curious about life, be curious about yourself, curious about like the things you put in your body. You think, it's not about, we're a sober bar, you know, dun, dun, dun. You know, we're just saying, hey, there's other options. There's also options. There's, you know, like, hey, look at this.
I like when you're talking about the fact that when you're talking about being curious, it takes the judgment and pressure and, I don't know, reframes it to be something neutral. I love that.
Yeah.
And it's the same as your journey. You're just like, today, this is where I stand, and that's fine.
Yeah. But honestly, I'm just a big believer in like doing what you can do, however you can do it. And if if that means today, yesterday I laid in bed all day and I didn't get things done or emails responded to. Sometimes that happens and that's okay. Like, you have to listen to your body sometimes.
Truth. Like, it's true. And I like that too. You're kind of just wherever you are in your life, you're accepting. And this is, it's like the way I look at the fact that I don't eat meat. I haven't eaten meat in a long time, but today, you know, I'm not eating meat. I may change my mind at some point, and that's fine if I do or fine if I don't. But it's like, it doesn't mean that I'm labeled as anything. And I guess I love that too. That's your message too. It's like, there's no labels here because people do.
It's easy to categorize people because it makes sense in your brain when people have a spot, like, because of that whole window theory, is that you don't know what's going on behind their window. So you have to kind of put them in a box so it makes sense in your head. And you could just ask them questions.
Why do you think people don't?
I don't know. I think sometimes that people expect you to give more information and just freely, like, I don't know. I noticed this as I stopped drinking, is that I had more anxiety, but also less anxiety. So I used to be able to just talk about everything that was going on and I would just word vomit. And now I'm much more aware of what I want to share and things like that. And I think that if people were interested, they would ask questions. And that's something that, like, I struggle with asking questions sometimes with, like, getting to know other people that I'm around. But I think it's just, it's tough because you don't know what to say sometimes. And that is, like, a lot of it is mental health related, like anxiety and just being nervous as a normal human. And I've learned in our networking that sometimes you just have to walk up and be awkward.
Accept your awkwardness.
Yeah. Because you never know who you'll be around. And, like, people, it's refreshing to just be yourself. It feels good.
Just be honest.
Yeah.
I think that's such a theme too, is hiding kind of, I don't know, especially in the networking and business world, is presenting your business self. Mm-hmm. But one thing that I really appreciate is when you're getting to know someone in our networking group, kind of more one-on-one, even in this scenario, we're so much more alike than we are different. And you don't have to be perfect professional person. You can say, oh, you know, I love this, right? Like, our questions that they ask every week in our networking meetings are so fun because it does kind of normalize a lot of the things that we think about. And I don't know. I remember yesterday, was it yesterday? Yeah, Thursday. Yeah, Thursday. So you had mentioned how people will ask you if you have alcoholic beverages in your little sober bar. It just made me laugh. So people are funny. But yeah, I mean, we were all asking kind of what are some really important things that you've learned, or what has somebody said that's kind of impacted you in your business sense? And these are important things to know. So surprisingly, people will ask that. Is there anything else that's been really surprising to you as you've gone on this journey? Is something that you were like, I never would have expected this to be happening, or something that you wish you knew before?
Honestly, like, I've really just been following the flow of it. If everything's been going the way it's been going, and I'm excited, and there's always opportunities, and I don't know. I feel very much like I've learned so much throughout the journey of my, like, career, I guess, as an entrepreneur / adult.
The career of being an adult, it's true.
Yeah, I've learned enough that, like, I feel really good about where I am in business. I love the fact that I've embraced the side of myself that's seeking knowledge. There are a lot, I guess that's something that I wish I knew too, is there are a lot of really great opportunities in Woodstock and in Cherokee County for your business. In a lot of counties, actually, but you just have to look out and find them. Sometimes they're on websites and people just don't talk about it. And so if you can find somewhere to get more knowledge about what you're doing, it all kind of clicks together, because that's kind of what I've been learning. I've been doing the Hatchbridge program with co-ed.
I've heard about it.
It's been really good. The Launchpad program was amazing, and it kind of clicked together pieces for my brain, because I'm definitely more the visionary entrepreneur side, the creative side. And I know how to do the other things, but they really click together, like, the math and science of it all. And my nerd brain was like firing on all cylinders. But I kind of wish I'd known some of those things before I took step one. Not that it would have changed much, but it's nice that I knew it now and I'm still early in, you know, the business. But yeah, if you are an entrepreneur out there and you're looking for something, those programs are amazing and they're out there.
It's nice because that knowledge feels powerful, right?
Yes.
You're prepared, or you're as prepared as you can be.
Yes.
Where do you come up with your mocktail recipes? Like, how did you come up with the one where, you know, for the wedding and mm-hmm. was edible glitter and all of that? Like, who would have ever thought? I mean, I would love to drink something like that. So
it's so fun. Honestly, they come out of my brain.
That's what I was thinking. You were talking about the creative side and the science. And I'm like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I used to work at a wine and whiskey bar locally here in Woodstock, Rootstock. Mm-hmm. And they are very creative there with their drinks, but it's at a different level. It's definitely I learned to appreciate whiskey while I was there, which I walked in being a vodka soda girl and walked out being a scotch lady. So like my palate changed and it allowed me, like, that experience. It was wonderful because I tried some really amazing like wines and whiskeys and all sorts of spirits and different combinations. And like, that's kind of where my love of mixology came from, was I'm trying these really amazing ingredients and how can I mix them up? But also I don't want to feel drunk after I'm playing, because it's playing. It's fun for me. So now that I'm in the zero proof sober curious space, I'm using all of those, all that knowledge and all those tools and all of the palate, you know, increase in my palate and different things I've tried to kind of create something new.
It's so clever too, because you could use herbs and mm-hmm. you know, and make them beautiful too.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a photographer, so everything has to be aesthetically pleasing. Otherwise I'm like,
this doesn't look as appetizing as it could.
Exactly. It has to be pretty and fun and interactive, because I mean, my big thing is like, it's fun. Mocktails don't have to be boring. Sober curious doesn't have to be boring. It can be fun.
I love it, because we're talking about just like enhancing what you're experiencing in the moment. It doesn't have to have, like, without the price mm-hmm. the next day. Exactly. I always heard drinking is borrowing happiness from tomorrow. That's the way I look at it. Cause the next day I'm always like, oh, I don't really want to get up and do as many things, or I'm impatient. I don't know. I always kind of suffer. It's not like it's a constant problem for me, but I just notice mm-hmm. and certain things will hit me harder than others. So interesting.
Yeah. I noticed that as I aged, it changed how I was able to function, which I was already barely, I learned a lot of my mental health and neurospiciness. I was like, oh, so that's why.
Yeah, and isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and then like adding drinking to it, I was like, oh, so this is why I'm just not useless, but like...
affected.
Yes. Like I'm already struggling and I didn't know why. Mm. And then adding drinking on top of it made it so that I wasn't able to function as best as I could. So taking one thing away to allow me to explore the other side and really like learn how to function as a human for myself. I mean, effectively from who I am, you know, it's not necessarily all of people, all human. I'm not a robot. But being able to take one thing away so I could focus on that other thing, and then giving myself permission to be sober curious, it's a freeing feeling. Like I feel so much, the pressure is just off and I'm able to get things done, which is really nice.
I love that you talk about it being fun. So many people consider any limit that's good for them, be it alcohol or salt or whatever, as not fun. Mm-hmm. Like, now I can't have or something. And so it's not what you're talking about, actually. It's like you can. It's just a little modified, but it's still fun.
Mm-hmm. Really, like, that's the thing. And so, and that's, I think people get confused that limiting yourself equals not fun. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. It just means you have to shift your perspective and find a solution. So if you think that limiting yourself isn't fun, it's because you didn't figure out a way to make it fun. You know, and that's just what I teach my kids too, is that like I want them to have a solutions-based mindset. They always think of like, how can I make this better, or how can I make this happen for myself, and not just give up or choose a bad choice because it's easier.
Gosh, isn't that the truth? I've always heard the path of least resistance is most, or the path of, yeah, is actually generally not always the best choice the easiest choice is not always the best choice in business.
Yeah, it's true. And it's hard to, in business too, like going back to do the steps is what is needed. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to go back and do those steps when you want to look at the big picture vision. Like as an entrepreneur, you're always seeing the big picture. And that's your job as the CEO and, you know, the founder is to see the big picture. But there are a lot of little pieces that you have to be aware of as well.
What has been the most challenging to you as you've grown in your business?
The most challenging for me has been, I'm really bad at budgeting. So this is why I just brought on a finance intern.
Aren't you smart? Look at you, solution based,
right? Yes, that's that's been the struggle for me, is that it's just because I've done it so much in my past lives that I don't want to do more bookkeeping. I want to do the fun business stuff, the making of the flyers and talking, making up mocktails and things like that. And I feel like I do have a lot of knowledge that I've accrued, lots of skills over, you know, a long time of life that I could give to a student that I thought that this would be a good opportunity for me to solve a challenge that I have and also give back, because that's a big thing I want to do.
How do you give back? What is your main way that you do that?
We have partnered up with NAMI Georgia. So they're the National Alliance of Mental Illness, because obviously my story is very much mental illness based, but I think that there's not a lot of help or highlights on mental illness. It's becoming more regularly available, but it's still expensive. And it's still not easy. And there's still so many more opportunities out there for help that people aren't aware of. And so that's just a really big part of what I want to do, is that I want to tell people that, like, there is help out there. There is ways to be supported and loved. My best friend actually, like, committed suicide when I was in college. So that kind of changed the trajectory of my, like, mindset, thought process, everything. I was like, I'm never going to live a life where I'm not doing what makes me happy and what's fun. And so mental illness and, like, mental health is, like, such a big part of that, that's why I wanted to partner with NAMI. And there are we have other partnerships too that are out there, but that's, like, our biggest one. And it's something that's, like, in our employee handbook. It's like, if you have any sort of if you're feeling, like, not okay, here's some links that you can, you know, you can go to here. You can call this website. Call this number. Tell us. Let us know. Like, how can we support you? And we're very, very big of, like, ask questions. If you're confused, like, please do not ever feel like it's not a safe space.
Do you feel like companies really don't focus on that very
yes.
much?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's becoming more regular, but smaller companies, small business, like, mindsets are not always seen in big corporations. And so that's something that I really want to change with the trajectory of, like, my business, is I see it bigger than just one trailer. So we are very much corporate headed, but with a family business mindset. And that's what I want to instill in people. And as I hire employees and everything like that, as we grow, is that there's a seriousness to it and a get your work done, like, hyper focus on what your job is and focus on that and do it the best you can do it. And you'll be involved. Like, we're a family, like, we're here to help you, but we're not a family like a corporate says it. We're actually here to help you.
It's fascinating to me that small businesses, all businesses most likely started pretty mm-hmm. small, right? So not all, but in general. So when you're thinking about having a large business mindset and the mission statements that they have and parameters around mm-hmm. mental health, because a company I work for now is very motivated to help That's their awesome. Employees. Yes, not mm-hmm. everyone is. It's new to me as well. Mm-hmm. What I'm thinking is how nice it is to be able to encourage people who don't have a big corporation around them and big CEOs telling them you have to follow this protocol for your best interest. Because when you're considering a small business, it's all up to you. It's mm-hmm. there aren't the boundaries around it. you could work 24/7 if you wanted. And mm-hmm. I'm sure there's pressure. Most people that come on the show talk about the fact that boundaries are really difficult to maintain when you're a small business owner. It's up to you. If you miss a call or whatever, mm-hmm. you could miss a sale. And so knowing that you have that mindset of this, we want to normalize this. It's just, it's calming.
That's the goal, is that I don't want anyone to ever hate their job if they worked for me. I don't ever want that to be why somebody leaves. I want them to leave because they found something better or because they made enough money to retire because we're, you know, bajillionaires, all of us. You know?
That's awesome.
That's what I want. I mean, that's just my mindset of growth for my business and for myself, honestly, is like I'm an employee too. That's what I want for me. So
how do you put the boundaries around business and kind of balance yourself out? The look on your face.
Well, honestly, so I have ADHD, which makes it difficult to work in like the parameters of I'm going to work for these hours. I tend to work in project based. So like if I'm working on something in particular, or I have festival this weekend, we have the Etowah Wildlife Expo this weekend. So I know I have to get X, Y, and Z done for that. But it's a project, so it makes it feel more fun. Honestly, everything's about making it more fun for me. Everything is. Every night, I mean, people talk about how they don't take care of their mental health and their self-care and all those things. And I'm like, I mean, my house is a wreck, but I play Sims every night and I'm not stressed.
You're balancing yourself out, right? Yeah. Like that's what's important, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I will get there. Me, my two kids, and I have a partner, and we all do our best. And that's what I really want my kids to know, is that like, I ask them all the time, like, do you feel loved? And they're like, yes. And I'm like, okay, good.
That's what's most important.
That's all that I care about. I mean, I want you to be kind humans, good humans. I want you to do your best and I want you to feel loved and love the people around you. And like, everything else, we'll figure it out, you know? You'll find a solution.
That's success. That's success yes, to you.
That is success to me, yeah.
It's nice because the pressure is so different. It's such a reframing, and it's like it's refreshing, isn't it? Because
mm-hmm. you can still accomplish everything you want to accomplish without stressing yourself. I mean, I'm definitely stressed at times. Like, I am breaking out all on my chin. Oh. But I'm not as stressed. I'm in a stress in a different way. Like the way that I was in the corporate world, the stress that I was under where I just wanted to like throw my computer every day. And I wasn't even doing like the type of work I'm doing now where I have to make phone calls. Like that's, and my anxiety hates that part. Oh. But I'm able to do it now. I just do it because I just do it because I'm doing something I love. I'm following my passions. I'm building something that I know will be good for other people too. Like everything about what I'm doing, it just makes me happy. And it's so that's what's fun for me, is like diving into all of that. And if my, like, you know, we're behind on laundry, like, well, it's Laundry Mountain. Let's climb over it. That's fun. So, it'll happen. It'll get done. But that's the thing. Like, there'll be time. Like, I'll make time for it. It really is about reframing your mind. It's your mindset, reframing your mindset, getting things done, and like prioritizing the things that mean more to you. Like, I'd rather snuggle in bed with my kids and watch Wonka than go downstairs and fold laundry, because they're not going to be 7 and 9 forever.
Wow. I grew up in a different way where that was really important, was that, you know, like our environment had to be really mm-hmm. super straightened up. And my three kids that are adults now are not like that at all. I mean, but not with the pressure. Like mm-hmm. I will have like a mini panic attack if things get too messy. Mm-hmm. I can't handle it. I mean, I could, but I don't. I just clean it. But my children, I think it's so fascinating that they didn't have that anxiety around mm-hmm. it. So if it's messy, like they'll clean it when they clean it, or there's no judgment to it. Their safety is not tied to it. And I love that. And I don't, mm-hmm. want to put it on them either. Like, you have to clean this up for me, you know? Mm-hmm. Do you live your truth or whatever yeah. it looks like. But I love that you're providing that same mm-hmm. Change.
Yeah, we're trying. My partner is much more neat and tidy. He likes things in certain places than I do. But I like that we do like the main parts of the house where everyone is. that has to be clean. Like, you know, that has to be picked up.
Yeah.
It can't be messy. But your rooms, that's your space. If that's what you want to live in, that's fine. But now that they are older, we're instilling in them like different things. Like, hey, let's do this today. How nice is that, that this is done? And because they can understand it and we can talk to them like this. And I can be like, hey, you know how my room is like X, Y, and Z and how I have to do this? And it's so annoying. Do you like doing that in my room? And he's like, no. And I'm like, so maybe you should do that in your room, you know? Like,
life lessons.
Yeah. And I feel like it kind of, maybe we should have taught them how to, you know, pick up everything when they were three. But I'm kind of glad that they're able to like articulate back and learn things and like know what, why are they doing that?
And then figure out if that's what they want as opposed to it being instilled in them.
Exactly.
In an authoritarian way.
Exactly. And they're able to put it the way that makes sense for them. Like, put things in a way that makes sense for you. How can I help you? That's what we say too. We're like, how can I help you? Do you need more drawers? Do you need more boxes? Like, what do you need to make this space work for you and to make you happy in the space?
It sounds like you're all around business-wise and home, mm-hmm. kind of integrating the same energy through everything, which is probably mm-hmm. why it's so fun. You know, you're mm-hmm. in alignment. And congruent, you know.
Yeah, that's a big thing, I think, is that actually it's something we learned at the luncheon this week within Woodstock. They talked about how your goals in business and personal business and then any other goals you have, like if you can find a common theme in all of them and align everything, you'll be more successful. So like I'm doing that. Cool. Yay. So yeah, I mean, cause it's true though. Like if everything is in alignment, if you're doing the same things in your business and outside of your business and at home, like it should just go right. It should flow. Yeah. There's always going to be ups and downs in business. I mean, we didn't have any events in December and trust me, my wallet was not happy. My business wallet was not happy, but that was a choice. I made that choice because I knew we weren't going to have another slow December ever because our business was becoming popular and people were excited. And we tried a bunch of different things in October and November to try and figure out like, what are we doing here? Like what exactly are the packages we want to create? And like, how do we want to package festivals in the future? What do we need to bring? Like, how do we want, you know, all the things. And so in December, we really just took the time off so that way we could figure it out. And then also spend time like together as a family because there's not going to be another time like that ever again.
It's cool that you made it a conscious choice knowing that, okay, well, this is most likely our last quiet December.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's smart, isn't it? Because it sounds like you know how to at least balance some of your energy and time. I mean, I'm sure it's not easy.
It is not. I'm actually leaving here to go to book club. So that I forgot I had today.
Oh,
no, it's not till later, I think. Oh. I don't know. And that's the thing, too, is I've also surrounded myself with people who understand that I'm busy and that I'm very busy and what I'm doing. And they're proud of like who I am and they're sharing. You know, it's just like a supportive group of people that like if I'm late for book club, they're still going to have a mocktail sitting there waiting for me, you know, like and also I didn't finish the book. So sorry, guys. I'll finish it. Next month's book is all about burnout. So I will be fully ingrained in that one.
But how awesome that you're a business owner, a mom, and you know, a partner, and you have a book club that you do. Like you still are trying to balance yourself and do things that mm-hmm. are good for your mind and kind of keep like a social side of you that it doesn't have to do with business going.
Trying. Luckily, this book club was brought on by one of my other friends. So she and I are we've been close since we were pregnant. Actually, as I walked into my home birth midwife's office, she was walking out and I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Hi. And we've been friends ever since. And that was 10 years ago.
Wow.
So she started this book club and said I would be a good fit. And I was like, sure. I've been wanting to read more. Last year was amazing. We read so many great books and I love that they take it a step deeper. Like we've talked a lot about mental health and about neurospiciness. And
I love that term. I've never heard that before.
Well, I'm trying to normalize it.
I love it. I'll normalize it. I'm trying to throw that around.
What's it? Gretchen Wiener. She does the so fetch.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's my so fetch moment. but yeah, she started the book club. And so it's nice, like being able to take a step back and not be in control of that. That's another thing too, is that like delegation is huge in business and at home. Because for me, I was doing everything for so long, plus working. So now that I'm owning my own business, like I have to rely on my partner a lot more. And he's taking on a lot more of the financial load at home because I cannot do everything. I cannot be in every place. So allowing myself the ability to control what I can control in all aspects, like social, like if I don't get invited, I don't know about it because I don't have the energy or time to be reaching out to everyone anymore. So it's like, cool, book club, you have it on the schedule. You know, I know what the book is. I will see you guys there, you know? And then I see them, we have a great time. We have deep conversations and we feel real connected. We text every once in a while and it's perfect. It's like memes and they let me know like, hey, we're going to go do this. You want to meet up? And I'm like, actually, yeah, I can. So yeah. It's wonderful. I mean, I know that as my time gets smaller with this business, my goal is to create more time for myself. So there are certain things I have in place for employees in the future that will allow me to continue having the life that I have now. Because I think that that whole work-life balance thing is not a thing. It should be life-work balance. Like you should figure out how to support the life that makes you happy. Just find a job. Like, I mean, I know it's not so easy. Just find a job that makes you happy. No, but I mean, like just kind of figure out a solution that follow your hyper-focus, follow your passions. If that means you want to be a doctor, be a doctor. Be the best doctor that you can ever be. If that means you want to be an entrepreneur and struggle and work 80 to 90 to 1,000 hours a week, then that sounds like fun to me. It's all about finding out who you are and really just diving into that. And I don't know, all businesses are different, but for me, that's what I've done is because it's fun for me. I like doing it and it's something I can change the world and I can make a difference and I can create a legacy for my kids. And you know, it's just like all the things I've ever wanted. It's packaged perfectly in this business, even though it took me 10 years of learning and failing at other businesses to get here. Is now I have all these tools in my tool belt and it feels really good.
What is the not a typical festival?
Oh, yay. I was wondering if you were going to ask about that. So we're 6 months into our business and I said, let's throw a music festival. Because it seems so easy when everybody else throws festivals. We got it. So honestly, it was because I wanted to create a sober fest that wasn't a sober fest. I wanted it to be like what our business is, Sober Curious. It's not a sober fest. Like, we're not requiring you to be sober to come party with us. We're just creating a space that's fun. So we partnered up with Artist Control Music. It's a funny story. I worked with the owner when we were at Rootstock.
Got you. I was wondering how do you approach these people? But it's nice you had a previous relationship.
We did. And we had, I'm just friendly and I make lots of friends in the networking circles too. So we've reconnected. He's actually dating my niece, which is wild to go like full circle in the last like 7 years. And he's building his own business as well. So I was like, hey, let's team up and let's create this festival. And the most fun part is that every time we think of, should we do that? We just go, why not? It's not a typical festival, so we should might as well.
It's cool because it's like you get to do something completely different. It's like a different brand of festival. You're not competing with anything. It's completely its own uniqueness.
It is. We like to say our tagline, I guess, is not a typical festival, the festival with options.
when is your festival?
June 8th.
And where is it?
It's going to be at the Woodstock Arts Event Green, which is right across from Reformation. Mm-hmm. And there'll be tons and tons of options, from donation options, so different fundraisers going on throughout the whole festival, to music options. So whether you're into what's being played live or you like something else, we'll have silent disco headphones so you can choose. You have options.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool. Silent disco headphones.
Why not? Why not? And we have like 20, I think we're at, I don't know how many right now, but we have about 23 spots for vendors, food trucks, a whole activity village full of things to do, like physical things to do. And then we have a tent for our introverts. They can go find some puzzles or, you know, dominoes, stuff like that. And then we'll have a little place, I'm hoping, a little spot for babies, to like a soft play area, and just literally something for everyone. The festival with options.
What's neat is like it's focusing on mental health too. I mean, how many times have I been a place where the music's too loud, but you know, mm-hmm. what am I going to do? I'm here. So you're giving people safe places to be, whatever makes them feel the best.
Yes.
And normalizing that.
Yes. I think that's something that people, it's just not thought of. People keep telling me when I talk about the festival, they're like, you've thought of everything. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I just thought of what I would want.
Yeah. Isn't it cool to imagine what you're doing for, like you said, your legacy for your kids, yes, but what you're doing for the community in a way where people can say, oh, 10 years ago there was this festival I went to, and you have no idea where it will impact someone and what it will mean for their lives and their future.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, that's a big part of like my mantra is, in 10 years, I'm going to think X, Y, and Z. And every time we have a bump, I'm like, you know what? In 10 years, it's going to be so funny when we talk about this. So I think about that with things that I'm doing too, is like the people that come to this festival, and every time somebody comes up to me and they're like, oh my gosh, you're the sober bar. And it blows me away that they're blown away, and it makes me feel good. But it's also like, I feel good because they feel good. A lot of what I do is for myself, but it's also for anyone else who feels the way that I do. I post on social media every day, like 3 big quotes or memes or something funny, or I don't even know. It doesn't even matter. It's something that I've related to in my lifetime, and I need to see it. It's kind of like journaling, but in public, I guess.
It's neat. I like that you are using social media in a way to help promote the theme behind your business. It's not even so much the business, but like what motivates you behind the business.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people connect to stories. And even though my story isn't, I mean, there are parts that are ups and downs and heavy hitting, but I don't feel like I have that I hit rock bottom moment. You know, my story is more like a feeling. It's a vibe. That's what I always say. It's like, it's a vibe. You know, it's just different. I want to be different. I want to make a difference. So yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Where do you see yourself? What is your 5-year goal, 10-year goal? What would you like to see the business become?
Let's see. I am trying to build the business to be something that can function without me, because obviously that's the goal of a business. It's also because I have a big plan for my future. My friends are going to laugh when they hear this, because they already know that I'm going to talk about the commune. It's not a commune.
Let's just get that out of the way.
It's not a commune. It is a piece of land where all my friends live, and we all live together. And we have a house in the middle where we all make dinner every week, you know, like every day. And everyone shares everything. So it's basically a commune.
It's a community. A community without the weird commune feel.
Exactly.
Or association.
Oh, I mean.
Yeah. I like that it's the notion of like it takes a village.
It does. That's literally what we're trying to create, is that every piece of the puzzle for that big long-term community building, it's all, I mean, this business can, I feel like I'm like, we can all do it. I can, we all have pieces that can go together with this business or with a business. Either way, it's just really about helping each other. I think a big theme of what I do in business and in at home is it's community over competition. It's collaboration over competition. Like, I'm not trying to compete with anyone. We all have different things we do. We all have different things we bring to the table. And if I can help you and you can help me, then why don't we just help each other?
Because there's room for everybody.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just a hippie.
I'm born in the wrong. No, you're going to bring it back, girl.
I am. Woodstock. We're in Woodstock. Shouldn't we?
That's hilarious. What we're doing. Oh God, that was funny. No, but it's healthy. That's what it feels like. It's healthy, and it's for such good reasons. And the win-win, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you win to have a business, and other people win because they get to experience something different and maybe have a different mindset that's better for them, if they want.
If they want, and other businesses too. I mean, a lot of our pop-ups and stuff are at corporations where it's. You know what would be great is if you had a happy hour during the day when people are working, and then they go home to their families so that they can live their life.
So they're not spending their evenings like at life, their happy hour.
Yeah. And, you know, and also like you're spreading a message to your employees that you appreciate them. Since we want to do pizza parties, let's do a pizza party with the sober bar. You appreciate them, but you also appreciate and value their time and you care about their health and well-being. So, and that's a big part of like our corporate message is that as much as I'm building a corporation, as much as the experience I've had was necessarily, there are good and bad parts, is that you can still connect with the people that you're working with in a safe and healthy way and then go home and do whatever you want to do at home. Who cares?
It's just such a nice feeling when you feel like you are a person and not just part of a company. When yes. someone sees you.
Yes.
It's completely different. Almost like, for me anyway, it promotes I don't know if it's the loyalty or more mm-hmm. of an investment, more mm-hmm. of an exchange.
Yes.
Not just, I'm an employee, a cog in the wheel. Mm-hmm. As long as your profits are good, whatever. There's a value of the human.
Exactly. I mean, 'cause we are humans. And that's a big thing too, is the whole inclusion side of it. From whether you're in a corporate situation or a wedding or a party or, you know, your sweet 16, whatever party, entertainment, whatever it is, your neighborhood gathering, you're just offering, when you work with us, this is my little sales pitch, I guess. It's not really a sales pitch, it's just how
it's
I feel.
It's the truth.
It's the truth, yeah. You're offering options for everyone. So that way everybody gets to feel the way it feels to have like a beer at happy hour. Like, why can't everyone have that cool, fun drink?
Without the price, without the negativity, mm-hmm. without the price. So everyone feels valued.
Exactly.
Aw.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm so excited for you. I mean, it's really fun to see you kind of take on a little bit of a community vibe with it, because oftentimes you set up your business and, you know, you hope people come to you, but you go out and look for opportunities and, mm-hmm. And who knows where it will lead. I mean, I'm so excited to come to the fest, to your music fest.
It's going to be so fun. I cannot wait to tell everybody who's playing, and like, I have so many surprises in the works. Like, oh, it's going to be so fun.
Well, how can people get in touch with you if they would like to learn more?
Absolutely. So the bar pages, it's at The Little Sober Bar on all social media, whether that's TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. We are not on Twitter or Snapchat. Sorry.
You're covering some good bases, though.
I am. Or my personal pages, obviously, Brittany Victoria. I'm a quote-unquote influencer. I feel like I'm too old to be an influencer, but apparently I was just one of the influential women of Woodstock. So
oh my gosh,
I guess I am. I am an influencer. But at Brittany Victoria is my pages, so that's where you can find me.
Well, Brittany, I can't thank you enough for coming today. You've been on my mind all week, and I was saying before the show that there must be a reason this timing is the way it is, because I don't know. You just kept popping in my head, and I'm like, okay, I'll ask her. You know, I'll ask her to come on the show. So thank you so much for coming today and sharing your story, and really inspired to look at my own self and reframe some of the ways that I function through the world without that anxiety lens, but more of just a vibe lens mm-hmm. and a peace lens, and not put undue pressure. Like, what's going to happen if I don't, if I have dishes in the sink, does anything happen? The answer is no.
No. I mean,
other
maybe
than my
like,
own anxiety,
maybe like after a month, you want to reevaluate.
We won't go that far, but yeah, you're right. Like there, that reframing and just thinking of it as just where I am is fine. Mm-hmm. Is a lesson I think everyone can benefit from, but specifically myself. So thank you so much for sharing that for me today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Aw, yay. Well, come back. In 6 months and we'll do a checkup and we'll see how things have progressed for you and what other fun things you've learned on Fearless Formula. Well, everyone, thanks for listening to Fearless Formula on Business Radio X. And again, this is Sharon Klein reminding you that with knowledge and understanding, we can all have our own fearless formula. Have a great day.